live on Eric Hughes Jones, courtroomwatch.com or .org. Take your pick, but Courtroom Watch for sure. Courtroomwatch.com. There, pick up your copy, download your jury nullification forms, and of course, Greg Jackson, Greg with two G's, Jackson, GregJackson.com. There, of course, get his writings, follow his work as well, both on the trail of the courts. And it's interesting, right before the top of the hour, Eric was talking about the Judiciary Act of 1789. One of the sources, and then I found this interesting because after his last visit, I was sent a search, and that's right, sent a search, and Macaulay's journal. If you access that, there is the diaries or the writings of Senator William Macaulay, not a fan of the bill. He's from my home state of Pennsylvania. Kept a diary of the experiences in the first Congress. And he wrote extensively on the Judiciary Act, which started this whole mess. And Eric Hughes Jones was talking about this before we get back, and I'm going to kick it to Eric and then kick it back to Greg. So before we get back to Eric and Greg, the other day, my daughter Jackie, who you saw on camera, she had a question about her life insurance policy. In fact, I got her life insurance policy when she was a baby, and had given it to her, and she said, you know, I do want to check this. I want to check Policy Genius out. Well, I'm going to tell you, she saved a lot of money when she went to PolicyGenius.com, and it was easy for her. In fact, she was guided every step of the way, thinking perhaps, well, you know, taking it over might be too much of a hassle. She had life insurance, but she wanted to compare prices. She found, oh my goodness, Policy Genius offered her the best deal online. In fact, PolicyGenius.com is the best online life insurance marketplace, bar none. They've got the most accurate quotes from top A-rated life insurance companies, and they've placed over $5 billion worth of policies for people just like you and me. Very simple, user-friendly interface website to shop and compare all of the top-rated insurance companies, and they give you the best options. Folks, go to PolicyGenius.com today to save over 40% off other prices for life insurance. And I can tell you, just ask Jackie. That's right. When life insurers compete for your business, you save money. I'm going to spell it for you. P-O-L-I-C-Y, that's policy, Genius, G-E-N-I-U-S, altogether, PolicyGenius.com. There's no jargon, no sales pressure, no hassle. Life insurance made easy. Free quotes, no hassle, peace of mind. Don't wait. Go to PolicyGenius.com today. That said, Eric Hughes Jones, go back. I'm going to kick it over to you, and then you can kick it to Greg. But the Judiciary Act of 1789.
Yeah, I think I was just wrapping it up. I think it was a perfect time because I just wanted to make that point that look at all the other, look at the statements that were made at the time. This is a vile bill. That's a really strong word in those days for a senator to use that on the record. I can scarcely account for my dislike for this bill. I fear it will be the gunpowder plot of the Constitution. I mean, they knew this was going to destroy our republic, and so those, look what happened. Look what's going on now. The courts are just completely out of control.
It's
important,
right,
for people to get that jury nullification flyer out, because it may be your neck that gets saved by a juror who exercises jury nullification if you're up on wrongful charges, you know? So, a solution. Try to get your town and your county unincorporated and your church unincorporated. That is a huge step in the right direction. We'll start with that. That's where, or if you're planning on moving, look for a county that's unincorporated. They're out there. There's a bunch of them. And the reason is because once a public service, a public entity incorporates and becomes a private business, it's going to start acting like a private business. They're going to start selling shares in their corporation. Who do you think, and this, I want people, if they remember nothing else other than jury nullification, remember the Democrat and Republican entities are no longer political parties. They're private corporations.
And people have to kind of get
that through their head, that these are not anything that's in the public domain anymore. These are private entities. And this is how I knew we were in trouble, as soon as Donald Trump was running with an R next to his name. He should have ran as an. If I knew, I was looking. The first thing that I said, you know, I'll know if he's for real or not. If he runs as a Republican, he's going to be. And whether he's for real in his mind, I don't know. But he's going to wind up walking into the neocon trap just like he has, and look what happened. Or was he going to run with an I for independent next to his name? Not the Independence Party, just independent. That means no political party affiliation, or better said, no political corporation affiliation. Because once he signed on the dotted line to run as a Republican candidate, he has to obey by the bylaws of that corporation called the Republican Party Incorporated. They can call it whatever they want, but it's a private corporation. And this is why it's so important that people unincorporate, get to a place that's not incorporated, don't let your court be incorporated or your town, and stop. This is what drives me like fingernails on a chalkboard, is the government should not be run like a business. It should be run like a public service. Remember, that's why we called them public servants in the old days.
Sure.
Now they're called authorities and you know, whatever else. Czars. Can you believe we have czars in our free republic? I mean, how can people pallet that? Like the black robes in the court. That's an overt sign. So anyway, take back the language. Educate your friends and neighbors that, you know, is some big, we're a republic, not a democracy. It doesn't matter what the majority votes for. Your rights are protected under a republic. Cherish it, because it may be on trial someday. When that comes, here's jury nullification. By the way, society cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity, only a living man or woman, and insist on that. Many state constitutions say that they are still under common law, including New York under Article 14, I think it is. So, and that was updated as of 2012. And it says since there was a colony in 1775 and a state in 1779, and it was very specific. So hold your local and state and federal government to a common law standing. Always require a common law court. Where's the victim to my crime? Well, what do you mean the state's a victim, Your Honor? Is a state's a fictitious entity that would be committing a fraud upon the court? Is the district attorney promoting a fraud upon this court by claiming a fictitious entity can be a victim? That's absurd. And they're going to say, well, the state statute says this, and the attorneys have passed that. And so here's the epic battle. It's us against, unfortunately, it's us against the bar. And if you doubt how far back the bar goes, look up in your dictionary, Inns of Court. That's I-N-N-S. I'm going to do it while I'm explaining what it is. This is out of the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language, and about 19 early 80s, and I was just paging through one day looking for a different definition, and I found Inns of Court. It's called Inns, I-N-N-S, next word of, next word court, C-O-U-R-T, as in where you go for your trial. Okay. And I'm going to see if I can get it right out of the dictionary. Here it is, Inns of Court. The four legal, now listen to this carefully. The four legal societies in England founded about the beginning of the 14th century, consisting of Gray's Inn, Lincoln's Inn, the Inner Temple, and the Middle Temple, which have the exclusive right to confer the degree of barrister on law students. Since the 1300s, about 1325, not long after the signing of the Magna Carta, and did you get the reference to the temples? Those are Masonic temples that run the courts and the bar. That's their, hiding in plain sight right there. They don't call them Masonic temples anymore. They call them Masonic lodges. But they're back then, back in the day, they were temples. And so here we have the Inner Temple and the Middle Temple, Gray's Inn and Lincoln's Inn, which are claiming the exclusive right to determine who goes in to be a law student. And nothing's changed since this time. They're exercising the same tyranny. They're being told that they have sovereign immunity, because as a member of the bar, they're loyal to the Crown of England and not to the American Constitution. And they show it by their actions every day in court. So you don't have to say it's a conspiracy theory. It's obvious by what they do. Do you agree?
Yeah, I heard this before, but I thought this was strictly a English, in fact, a longstanding English gateway to practice law in the UK or in England. But it's not.
Well, they've extended their tentacles. By my research, they have extended their tentacles into the modern bar association, because almost, and you can be able to watch this for the last 50, 60 years, what the way it goes, what goes in England ends up coming here. Whether it's the cameras on the streets, whether it's the random stop and frisk, whether it's the no more common law rights and you're under statutory admiralty law. The whole admiralty structure comes out of England. I mean, that's where we started from. And another broadcast, if you have me on again in the future, I can get into, it wouldn't take very long, the story of George Clinton. There were two of them. I was looking through the dictionary to see if Bill and Hillary Clinton were in there, and they were not. But there was several Clintons in there that led to a very interesting study. And long and short is, of the two George Clintons were listed separately as different people, but they both existed during the colonial times. One was a British admiral, and the other one was the vice president under Jefferson and Madison. The British admiral one was a few years older, and he was working directly for, he was the governor of New York when it was a colony. He was a colonial administrator, British admiral. He was the tyrant with burning people's houses down, taking their guns, quartering troops in their house, hanging people that disobeyed with the crown and didn't pay their taxes, beating people to death. Horrible. Nightmarish. And then I see this other George Clinton, almost the same era. I mean, just they were only about 20 to 30 years off. And, the vice president under Jefferson and Madison, best friends with George Washington. The governor of New York, when it became a state, the first time New York became a state after the revolution that we supposedly fought for our supposed freedom. So here's one George Clinton that's clearly on the British side, and here's another George Clinton right at the same time, the exact same name, on the American side. Oh, they have to be related. So I went on this journey, and very interesting, many multiple entities, including the Sons of the American Revolution, denied that they were related. Finally found a book written by John Lee and published by Syracuse Press called The Master Builder of the Empire State. That's what the Masons call themselves, as Master Builders.
Right.
And it was a story, and in there it said that the younger George Clinton, best friends with George Washington, governor of New York when it was the first state, the vice president under, James Madison. It wasn't Thomas Jefferson. He was vice president under Madison, I believe. And, I mean, here he is, and it said that he had been given his start by his elder relative, George Clinton, the British admiral, job at the, as a legal clerk in the Ulster County, New York County Clerk's Office. So he had been planted, the George Clinton that became right-hand man to George Washington and went on to become vice president of this republic, was intimately related and got his start from his British admiralty cousin. So my take is that they had this kind of they had their people from day one infiltrating this republic. Some were founding fathers were good, some were bad. Some were on the side of freedom. Some were infiltrators. This guy, Oliver Ellsworth, who pushed through the Judiciary Act of 1789, obviously a traitor. I mean, there were other senators saying this is going to destroy us. It's going to you heard the quotes I read before. So they knew that this was, the guy had to know what he was doing, that he was doing damage to people's freedom, that he was taking people's property, that he was setting up a nightmare that would lead us to the situation today. And this is kind of what I start off all my interviews with, which is we do not have three separate equal branches of government. Not even close. All the power rests in the court.
You're absolutely right.
Greg,
you still there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Still with
us? Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I'm just sitting here listening and
Mr. Hammer, shall I continue? I don't hear any audio.
Eric,
can you hear me?
I don't know if you can hear us, but Greg is starting to respond. There must be some problem with the audio on your end.
I just lost you for about 20 seconds. I didn't know if you could hear me or not. I just wanted to turn it over to you, Greg. I didn't want to hog the whole time, but I thought it was interesting to go back and see that not all the founding fathers were all that great, and not only were they not that great, they did some things that were obviously could only be described as traitorous.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, Greg, you're fine.
I can.
Okay. Well, let me just try to put a bow on this, and I'm just going to share my heart. And I love what you've said, Eric, and Joe and Doug. Thank you, as usual, for having me on the show to share my heart. Here's what I want to say. I thought that there was a remote possibility with Donald Trump in office that we might reverse some of the tyranny that we're under. But I believe, and again, I could be wrong, I'm not Nostradamus, but I believe that the deep state somehow has gotten to Donald Trump. And he has surrendered. I mean, you don't do a 180 the way Donald Trump has done a 180 on a lot of the issues that he campaigned on. One day he's lauding Putin and the Russians, and the next day he's on the Chinese side. And the one day he's got, the anti-establishment, anti-statists like Bannon and Kellyanne Conway and others in his administration, Lieutenant General Flynn. One day and the next day they're replaced by the white shoes, you know, banker boys from Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
And so what I believe, guys, and here's why I bring this up. I believe that the deep state, the globalists, they're not going to take this sitting down. Donald Trump was the anti-establishment representative for all of us in the United States who were sick and tired of the globalists and the, establishing their tyranny in the United States, putting the screws to us. But I believe now, here, I'm just going to share my heart. I believe that Christians now, we are on our own. We do not have a representative in the White House. We don't have a representative in the Capitol. We don't have a representative in the Supreme Court. In fact, we don't have a representative in most state legislatures. Like in the days of Rome, when Rome was burning, the Christians were fed to the lions and they were on their own. This is where I believe we are at. And I'm sorry to bum people out on a Monday. But the good news is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And regardless of what the macroeconomic and the global situation may look like right now, the fact of the matter is that as individual Christians, one day you, listening to this show right now, are going to be asking, and me and Joe and Doug and Eric, all who claim the name of Christ, are going to stand before him. And we are going to have to give an account of every action and deed. And he's going to ask us what we did for the orphan, for the widow, and those who cannot speak for themselves. Dante said the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who in times of great moral crisis maintain their neutrality. Edmund Burke said, who many claim to be the founder of modern conservatism, said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And let me tell you something. Jesus made it even simpler. They said, what's the most important law? What's the most important ordinance, Lord? He said, love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Obviously, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema. And then he said, and then the second one I add is love your neighbor as yourself. Basically, you boil it down in two things. What are we supposed to be like as Christians? Supposed to love God and love people. Especially the littlest people, the most defenseless, those who can't speak for themselves. And so what are we called to do in this late hour? I don't care what the political situation looks like. I don't care about who's getting ousted from the Trump White House and who's coming in and who's going out. What I care about personally is what Greg Jackson is going to do in my individual sphere of influence. It's the only thing I can control that God has given me, like you and Joe, Doug, have the Hagman and Hagman report. God has given that to you. It is a solemn obligation for you and I and others who care about freedom and justice and righteousness to stand together arm in arm until our last dying breath fighting for what is right. And that's what we were called to do. And what Eric is talking about tonight, what I'm talking about tonight, is to say, we are not going to carry on the lie, to feed, to perpetuate the great toxic lie that courts are our daddies, that judges are our kings, that we have to submit and surrender to every court opinion, to every unconstitutional law or statute like the Judiciary Act. It's time for Americans to practice, especially Christians, to practice civil disobedience the real way by saying, no, we're not going to accept this lie in the courts, and we're going to enact this jury nullification because it is constitutional. It is our duty. And guess what? We're going to call on sheriffs to shut down the abortuaries in our counties. We might not be able to change the national scene, but wherever you are, Mr. and Mrs. America, you can get on the phone and call your sheriff, and if you're a sheriff, you can stop the killing tomorrow. The question is, when you and I stand in front of Jesus, do we want to be looking down at our shoelaces? I know I don't. I know that when Jesus asked me, Greg, what did you do with what platform I gave you? I want to look him square in the eyes and say, Lord, I was never ashamed of the gospel. I shared it with everybody that I knew. I told them that no matter what sins they committed, that all they had to do was repent of their sins, trust in you, receive you in their heart, and that they could be saved, forgiven of their sins, and spend eternity in heaven. And I never shied away from that. And I used every platform you gave me to share the good news of the gospel. That you were buried, that you rose again, that you overcame death, that you overcame Satan, and that we could live eternally with you if we placed our faith in you. And secondly, that I did everything that I could till my last dying breath to fight for what is right with everything that you gave me. And that is my hope, that's my prayer for everybody listening in the audience tonight. And I know I'm a little fired up. I'm fired up because it's in my heart. It's in my flesh. It's in every fiber of my being. That it doesn't matter what the enemy wants to make you think that you're defeated. You are not defeated. You are more than, he who lives within you is more than he who is in this world. Satan, it was defeated 2,000 years ago on that cross, and yesterday we celebrated the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah, he's ruling and reigning. He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And all that he asks us to do is to be obedient and to be bold and courageous. God doesn't like wimps. He doesn't like lukewarm people. So I'm not condemning people in the audience. I'm calling on you. I'm begging you. Let's stand together, Hagman and Hagman family. Let's support the Hagmans in prayer, financially. Let's support our sheriffs praying for them, coming alongside them and saying, we'll go down with you to the abortion clinic. You shut it down. You restore the right to life. Let's go down to the courthouses and pass out jury nullification flyers and post them everywhere in the colleges and in every courtroom. And let's take back our government to the best of our ability where God gives us a platform.
Oh, exactly. Amen, Jesus was an activist, was he not? And also, whenever I do, you know, my actions and when I was doing another broadcast, I would always say my broadcast stands on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's a call to activism. He wasn't looking for people to say, not me. No, no thanks. He was looking for people to stand up to the evildoers. Hey, we're not supposed to just sit back. Obviously, there's times when you're going to take a slap and not return the blow, as Jesus would say. But once again, you have to, in your heart and your actions, stand up against the Antichrist system that we're living in, or else you're supporting it by acquiescence, which is just by sitting back and letting it happen. That's it's called acquiescence. Acceptance by acquiescence. And if you're doing nothing, that's as bad as doing something against God's choice to have his people be free.
And absolutely,
so,
right, Eric.
Once again, it's a call to activism is all throughout the scripture. You know, you don't want to be one of the people who did nothing. I mean, what did Jesus say? He did something to the effect of be hot or be cold, meaning either be for me or go with the evil one and go out nuts with that. Go one way or the other. but man, lukewarm is just, you know, I'll throw you up out of my mouth. I forget what the scripture is, but something to that effect, because it's as bad, if not worse, to just kind of float around in the middle and say, what am I going to do? You never know what seed you're going to plant in somebody else's mind with a jury nullification flyer, which may lead to some talk about the 50 million babies and the bigger issues. It's a great foot in the door to get with people. And you never know where you're going to plant that seed, and God will make it grow. He'll water that seed in somebody else's mind, and they may wake up 100 million people. You don't know. So, once again, the victory isn't ours. The victory is God's. We're just delegated to storm the gates of hell, come what may. Take one battle at a time. Don't get overwhelmed. Do the little things. The little things may make a really big difference. Getting those jury nullification flyers out, talking to people in your community. Try to get unincorporated at your church and your county government and your town government, and get into a self-governing county situation. Write up a new charter. Look at your county charter. Most of them are loaded with so much garbage that just rips off the people. It's ungodly. So writing up a new county charter based on common law principles is also a really good start.
I want to thank both of you for joining us and staying with us. We've reached the end of our segment. Greg Jackson from gregjackson.com and Eric Hughes Jones from courtroomwatch.org. Thank you both for coming on with us tonight. We look forward to having you back on in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Love you. Take care.
God bless you both. You have great evenings. We'll be right back with our final segment after these short messages on this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters, Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changeclosethewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. that means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Segment of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. You know, we're sending three carrier groups over to around North Korea. The headlines
on top of
North
the two
Korea,
that are already there.
Well, obviously the war drums are being, or if you can't hear the beat of the war drums, you're not listening. And the communist publications over in, don't forget, Red China. Okay, communist China. They're saying that cooperative efforts by China and the U.S. will under no circumstances evolve into any kind of military action against North Korea. Beijing, of course, won't support, nor will they cooperate with Washington when it comes to implementing solutions that involve military force against North Korea in any fashion, nor will Beijing support increasing measures from D.C. that involve the direct overthrow of the North Korean regime. Now, that is what the communist Chinese newspapers are saying, and the media outlets are saying. So you've got this slow burn of a Cuban missile crisis taking place. You've got carriers being sent over into the that theater. You've got the North Korea's attempted missile launch that failed. My contention, according to one particular source that I've got said, no, that wasn't a failure. That was a result of a 2.5-year-old program that involved essentially a computer virus. That was done by computer taking that missile out. This, according to my source, I don't have any verification. There's no way I can authenticate that. But you saw what happened on the missile launch yesterday, ending in failure. And again, this was by the U.S. military, according to my source, and it was a computer type of insertion of a code that was responsible for taking that down. And of course, there's cute cartoons of Acme, and cartoons on the internet, making light of this. But the bottom line here is you've got a real possibility for nuclear conflict now popping up in the South China Sea and the North Korean area. And of course, you've got Japan that's affected. You've got Chinese troops moving on the North Korean border. You've got all sorts of movements all throughout the weekend. If you watch in the microcosmic sense, if you watch that very carefully, you'll see the posturing take place. Will war break out? Look, I don't know. I would venture to say war is more likely in the Middle East over Syria, as we see Russia, or even a Russian-Chinese alliance against the United States based on our actions in Syria. And of course, the exclamation point to that would be, of course, what we do with North Korea. So this is a geopolitical nightmare. And of course, remember what Kate Daly had said last week, and if you haven't listened to her interview or watched her interview, Kate Daly from last week, you got to go back to World War I to understand what we're seeing today, and you have to understand the powers behind the powers and the news behind the headlines to really understand. You can't take the headlines for what they are. You've got to really get in deep and dig in deep. And of course, we've got that, and on the domestic front, we've got the multifaceted civil war that's brewing here. The Marxist Muslims in areas of power against the freedom-loving people of the our Constitutional Republic. And you got the various foot soldiers from Organizing for Action, Antifa, RevCom, various other groups all under the umbrella of the community organizer Obama and others, including Soros, but not limited to Soros, And then, of course, you've got a very cozy relationship, apparently, between, or at least a, if not a cozy relationship, a fiduciary relationship between Jared Kushner and his companies and the Soros companies. So you've got quite a mess taking place. And you've got the same military jocks wanting to show their military prowess. Now, does that make them part of the larger problem? Well, it's this is not a conversation, in my view anyway, a geopolitical conversation. You cannot have this or make an assessment based on any one of the many chess moves that are taking place all across the globe today. I think you've got to really take a look at this in a very macrocosmic as opposed to microcosmic sense, but you've got to pay attention to what's happening on a smaller scale, because each puzzle piece is part of the larger picture. So you can't abandon one for the other, but you have to look at the big picture in the end. So with that, let's blow open the phone lines. Let's take some calls. I know it's a short time, so make your calls if you can. Just as quick, you know, make your point as quick as possible. Be happy to answer any questions you might have. So let's get on that if we did open the lines.
Eric, thanks for putting the number up on the screen. Folks, we've got about 20 minutes to take calls. 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. We have Rachel. We're going to go to Rachel first, I think, in Illinois. Rachel, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call, and God bless you all. I just wanted to make two quick comments. First off, I want to let you know that I am going to spread the phone number around for the Attorney General to all my friends and family to call and for Brannon Howes. This is ridiculous. So I just want to let you guys know that there will be some people here in the Midwest doing some calling and complaining.
I really appreciate that, because that's...
And I wanted to...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
We just appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I'll be spreading that number around. And I just wanted to let you guys know an incident that happened to me not too long ago. It was very strange. I went to urgent care, and I was filling out my paperwork before I saw the nurse practitioner. And after I got everything done, the receptionist was very uncomfortable, you could tell. And she looked at me, and she said, well, I hate to have to ask you this. And I thought what she was going to say was, are you safe at home? Because that's usually what they ask if you're being abused at home. But she didn't. She said, I need to ask you what your birth gender was, and what do you prefer to be, and what do you prefer to be referred to at this time? She said they're asking all of the patients these questions now.
Comments.
I could not believe it.
Yeah. 31 different gender options in New York State, if you can believe that. Just
you know,
as one
it's
example.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And I just see her having to ask these, you know, 70 and 80 year old people these questions, what they must be thinking.
Oh my.
It's just an abomination. I just cannot believe we have gone so far down this rabbit hole. It makes you want to just stay home and not leave.
Well, I got to ask you, Rachel, what did you select?
I was offended at first. I'm a female, and the poor thing was turning red. She was blushing, and you know, I felt bad for her too, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I saw an article the other day. It was the second time I saw an article in a week or so. One was about the Dove soap transgender ad.
Yeah.
And another was about comparing two comedy shows. But both times the writer in the article, separate writers, separate publications, referred to themselves as cisgendered. I had to look that up to see what it means.
I don't even know what that means.
Apparently it means identifying with the biological sex of your birth. So if you're were born a man and you're still a man, that's what it means. But I had to look that up, and I thought it was strange that in the same week I saw two articles, you know, referring to this obscure gender term, when all they really had to say was
male or female.
Right. I mean, it is getting insane.
I just don't know what they're going to come up with next. But anyway, I wanted to share that with you guys, let you know that I do intercessory prayer for you all. And
thank you.
Watch your show as much as I can, and love what you guys are doing, and I'm praying for you.
God bless you, Rachel. Thank you so very much. You're so kind, and we really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
All right.
You too. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right. Up next, we have Alan in Pennsylvania. Alan, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Oh, hello. How are you today?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good.
What's on your mind?
Good.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was calling about I'm getting a bad echo. I was calling about the guest I was on earlier and speaking about the court systems, and a lot of it is, it's all about the banking system, and that the whole, the lawyers are controlling the banking system, and they're protecting the bankers, and when you're going into court, the people don't understand how the court system is actually doing it. And when you're signing the notes, the promissory notes and the mortgage note, or you sign a credit card, your signature is actually authorizing the creation of that money. So when you say, for instance, you're buying a home, when you sign that promissory note, you're actually paying for your home. And then when you sign the mortgage note, you turn your home back over to the bank and pay them again. And if the American people would understand, or this is going on throughout the whole world, this is just not in America, and if the people would understand that this is how they're taking us for our wealth, I would think that, you know, there would be a revolution overnight, because that's how they're doing it. Everything is monetized. That note, that if you've got a mortgage for $150,000, that's no different than having $150,000 $1 bills in your pocket. That's currency. That mortgage note becomes currency.
Yeah, you're transferring. I know you're transferring that money. Now I know what you're saying, and I think everyone knows what you're saying. When you apply for a mortgage and you get a mortgage, that money is actually kind of it's not even passing through, but in a sense it is. It's coming from the lender to you, to the mortgage company, but you only just on paper, I suppose.
Well, you're authorizing the creation of that. If it's a $150,000 loan, your signature authorizes the creation of $150,000 that they digitally put into the bank. You actually created the $150,000.
Well, yeah, we did. Okay, the mortgagee didn't, or the one obtaining the mortgage did not create that necessarily.
Right. The bank never loaned. The bank never loaned us anything.
Right.
You know.
Right. It's a pretty.
There's a great person out there that by the name of Licky Folletta that's been teaching these for years, and he's actually even teaching lawyers now how to fight these things in court. And him and Eric Hughes Jones would make great guests. For them to go back and forth. He's really educating the people on how to find out what's really going on in the banking system and how to protect yourself in court as well, you know.
Yeah, and
anyway,
this is such a deep subject. Thank you. Alan, yeah, I really appreciate this. Man, this is just such a deep subject. But if people only knew what we were subjecting, if everyone knew what we were subjecting ourselves to based on our lack of knowledge or limited knowledge. Alan, you're absolutely right. Thank you, man, for the call.
I'd like to. Yep. I'm going to get a copy of this gentleman's book, and I'll mail it to you, and you can read his book.
Well, thank you. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. As a matter of fact, we'll get him on. All right. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you. Have a great night.
All right. Yeah. You too, man. But yeah, it's all about money. The wars. They're bankers' wars. Everything you see taking place. It's all because of just follow the money and just understand that and the rat lines. And again, I would once again urge everyone listening to tune into George Webb channel, YouTube channel, WEBB, George Webb. Where is Eric Braverman or Eric Braverman Day, whatever it is, solid investigative reporting on the rat lines, which is the money, sex, drugs, coming not just from North Africa, but all across the Middle East and into this country through Central South America or South Central America and into the southern border, through the southern border. And it just amazes me how people, especially at some of these town halls, how people are just so brainwashed or intellectually impaired when it comes to this kind of stuff or unaware of this. Some is a deliberate ignorance, while others, they're just, wow. But, all right, let's go back to the phones. We don't want to keep people waiting.
All right. I had a minor hiccup on my end here with the phone server. My browser crashed, so it's It's rebooted and it's pulling up the call system now, so we'll get right back to the callers.
All right, but
yeah, you're right. I mean,
this is all about money. It's all about the padding the pockets of the elites. Look, we you know, it's amazing too, what was said tonight. The art of the deal. What'd you expect?
That's right.
From Donald Trump. All right,
let's go to Ben in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Ben, thanks for holding it live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. First off, I just wanted to say that I met you guys down in Indiana at Pastor Paul Bagley's live show last summer in July.
Yeah, you know, you were, okay, you were with a female, right? Did I ask you this
before? No, I was with my younger brother.
Okay. I know, you know what, Ben, if I saw you, I could place you. I remember how young, how young was your brother?
My brother is 26.
All right. I'd remember you. Okay, well, what's on your mind, man? It was good to meet you, by the way.
Yeah, it was awesome meeting you guys as well. I did want to say that I did go to hear the Watchmen in Knoxville last year, and just to meet all those guys is just so awesome. To speak with Coach Dave and Russ and L.A., I mean, it's just so cool.
They're great,
cool.
Man. Yeah.
Yep. And I plan on going to the conference in Branson, too, for Steve Quayle in September.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah.
But then...
Yeah, it's September 15th and 16th, folks. Branson, Missouri, Steve Quayle's Gen 6 conferences. Look that up, and I'm going to try to peel away and get there if I can. So, you know.
And then I just wanted to say, just to wrap things up, you know, thank you guys for everything you do and for all your guests. I've been listening out for a couple of years, and it drives me nuts. I share a lot of this information with people, and they just... don't care, it seems like. It's just amazing to me.
You can't make people care, but you can inform them, or at least give them the ammunition or give them the information to for them to make an informed decision. I've seen a lot of people come around over the last, I'll say, I don't know, 6 months. But it's still an uphill battle. But thanks for fighting the good fight, Ben. I really appreciate it. We appreciate it, all of us.
Yep, so, yeah, I'll get off the line and let other people get their thoughts in. Thank you very much.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Hey,
thanks for the call, Ben.
Bye. Bye.
You know, I do remember Ben.
Sometimes the voice is dead for me, but most of the time the face is, I gotta see a face.
Yeah, but when he mentioned his brother, okay.
We're gonna go to James in the UK. James, thanks for holding. You're live with the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Joe, hi.
Good evening.
Joey there?
Good morning.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Joe. Love you very much. Listened to you for years. I've already gone back to coast, yeah?
Yeah.
I've been there forever. I've just got through sepsis. 8 months in a coma. I tell you, a lot of people don't realize that there's another world out there.
And, you were in a coma for 8 months?
You recovered from sepsis and a coma.
Yeah. Yeah, 8 months. I got out of hospital after about 9 months in a wheelchair. But I kept all my legs and my arms, so that's a good thing.
James, if we could ask, just real quick, what caused the sepsis? And then of course, what kind of world are you referring to? But go ahead.
Well, on a spiritual level, you know, Jesus and God were there, completely tested the whole way. Very difficult time. It was a long journey, 8 months asleep. It was a long time in the other world, you know. Sepsis is like an inside infection where your body eats itself.
Right.
It chews itself up. You know, it's your internal organs.
Wow.
Not many people know about it, but it's actually quite common. And it can, you know, it can catch you unaware.
Was this a bacterial, when you say sepsis, are you talking about some sort of bacterial infection or a virus? I mean, how did you end up being sepsis?
Not entirely sure. No one really knows. No one's really given me an answer. But the one thing I can say is, you know the energy drinks?
Yes.
You know, you've canned the energy drinks?
Yes.
I used to drink a tray of them a week. It was just 24 in a tray. And
okay.
That's one thing I did do, which was, you know, off, which kept me, gave me an energy level, didn't, you know, drink a can of that, and it'd give you a boost, you know, so you can continue with your work. So that was a naughty thing I did do. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it put me in hospital and it put me in a coma. But anyway, that's not why I called. I've been listening to you forever, all the way back in the day, you know, at the beginning. I just got kicked out your chat room.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We never see it during the program. We never see it.
Doug. I appreciate that. I get that. I'm not.
Well, you got our attention now,
It's important. I was thinking about this. Do you know that you guys are getting attacked a lot on the advertising side that is cutting revenue?
Sure.
You know, it's not just you. It's the other group. It's the whole group, isn't it?
Oh,
the alternative
is getting
hit.
Absolutely.
I got this thought that this theory that perhaps everyone is going at it from the wrong angle. If you take it from the angle of the people are on alternative media and they're threatening to take the money out of it.
Yeah.
So rather than oh goodness, you're taking the cash out of it, and feeling threatened by it, it should be going at the angle of, well, you're not going to get to advertise on our platform because we have the people.
I see what you're saying, and this is what we
switch
need to
it
do.
Over.
And yes.
Turn it completely over to, well, we've got everyone, and you want to advertise your product. Well, we're over here, and you want to advertise your product. Now that will close all Google and all these advertisers down.
And I think we can do that,
product.
James. We can do that. We can win on the numbers. I think more people are turning to the independent media, and I think you're right. And this is one thing that we've been trying to do quietly behind the scenes. And it's kind of like turning an aircraft carrier in a sense, although I've never turned one. But I understand it takes a wide berth and a lot of time. But you're right. And that's a perfect example. And this is what we're trying to do with the Christian marketplace as well, to make a Christian-friendly environment for our advertisers. But, brother, man, what are you doing? What are you doing awake so early or so late?
It's 8 minutes to three.
Wow.
I don't sleep so much. My legs hurt a lot. I'm lucky. I didn't have my legs cut off. They generally with sepsis. I've got a disturbed sleep. I've been 8 months, 9 months in hospital, so it's awkward. But it's fine.
Oh, brother,
it's fine.
James, thank you.
We're going to try to catch another call in here, man.
We'll keep you in our prayers, and thanks for the call.
Yeah, no worries. But turn the association with the advertisers around.
It's a great idea.
Know? You're there with the people. Let them come to you, and it'll cut the Google and cut them out.
And we can do that. James, you've reinforced what we've been talking about and thinking about. And I want to thank you for doing so. God bless you, my friend.
It'll be over. All the best. God bless.
All
thanks,
right, man.
James.
Great. James, thank you, man.
We got Becky in Pennsylvania next.
Yeah.
Becky, thanks for holding. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug and Joe. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, obviously. And first, I want to say a big shout-out to the awesome Hagman & Hagman family in the chat. We have wonderful fellowship every night. It's just a great group of people.
Oh, that's terrific. Good. Shout out given.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I have a question for you. I'm curious what you have to say about this. and I know that you've talked about this in the past, but what I'm noticing so much lately is more and more and more Christians seem to be jumping on this bandwagon of this, like, almost like a hate for the Jewish people. And I understand that there are Jews who call themselves Jews that aren't Jews. I mean, Jesus even talked about that in the Bible and stuff. But it seems to be, like, ramping up.
Yes,
and you're seeing more and more people. And there's even people that I really respect that, you know, you would know who they are if I even mentioned them to you. And they've been talking about this lately, too. And it's just kind of troubling my spirit, you know. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are on this.
Just got one word for that, that it's very dangerous. Although one might be correct.
See, that's where I have a problem. But, yeah, we don't have time to get into it.
Yeah, it is, although one may be correct in a description of a people, you could be correct, but by pointing it out necessarily does not benefit. It feeds into that anti-Semitic complex, and I believe that this the anti-Semitism is unlike any other hatred. It's unique.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely unique. It cannot be compared to or made analogous to any other kind of hatred or disdain. So it's very dangerous. I believe, I know exactly what you're saying, but I believe in my heart that this will be, although somebody might be correct in what they say about, oh, it's the Zionist, it's the upper echelon.
Yeah, and I get that too. And it's all about being diplomatic about it. You know, there is some truth to some of that, but it's going too far to one side. There's a balance in it, I think. You know, there's some truth there, but there's also, you know, the fact that God brought a whole group of people back into the land after thousands of years, even if he used bad people to make it happen, it still happened, though, right?
Yes. that's the short answer, but yes. Joe, what do you got?
And Becky, we don't mean to cut you short. We got about a minute left until we have to sign off.
But, yeah.
I don't have time to get into my opinion. If you want to send an email, we can. I'd be happy to respond to that.
Becky, I mean, honestly, okay, we as a nation, from nation state level to nation state level, supporting them financially, the question would be, is that necessary to do at the level we are doing it?
In your religion, you have the Israeli government.
I agree with you there.
Right.
But you have to differentiate between, you know, you have Messianic Jews, you have Talmudic Jews, you have the government, which is a completely different organization from the population. So you have a few different religions inside Judaism, and you can argue about which is correct or whatever. But there's a lot of things at play here, and if you break it down and look at it, I think you can get a more objective view. But at the same time, it does create a problem for whatever reason, whether it's correct or not.
That's what I've just been saying. I just wish there'd be balance. That they go off so much to one side, you know.
I'm right there with you, Becky. I really am. And thank you for that. It's talk about a complex subject, but thank you for broaching that. God bless you.
Well,
thank you.
Thanks
for
the call. You guys are in my prayers all the time. Love you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, have a good night.
Who do we miss on there?
We missed Adrian.
Adrian, I'm sorry.
I believe that was the caller, Adrian, from a 207 area code.
Adrian, we I'm sorry.
Until next time, though. And we will be doing more of these call-in shows, trying to do at least an hour once a week, or if not a half hour.
Let's get back to doing that, you know.
Until tomorrow, stay safe, have a good night. We've reached the end of our program.